Let us pray. Lord, we ask right now that that you open the doors to our heart, that you open them wide, that your gospel message, your truth will be spoken and heard here today. We ask that you bless the reading of the scriptures, that they become more for us than just ink on paper, but that they become your words of truth that can change us. Once again, we ask that you clear away any cobwebs of distraction or anything else that may be in our minds or in our hearts so that you can come in and that your light can shine brightly, teach us and instruct us. We ask your blessings on this time together and in your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand if you are able for the reading of the word. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. We've been for over 12 weeks now going through the Gospel of Mark, and we've spent several weeks, the past few weeks, looking at the last week of Jesus' life. What that means is that we transition here from the joyous occasion of Palm Sunday, talking in the children's sermon about the palms, the beautiful song the choir sing, and now we go from that into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was, as the scripture said, distressed and agitated. Holy Week brings with it a mixed bag of emotions. We've gone through Lent almost completely now, reflecting on our sin, on our shortcomings, on our need for a Savior. We recognize the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We have journeyed with Him, in a sense, thinking about that sacrifice and thinking about what we can sacrifice for Him. But even in the midst of all of that, we're filled with hope because we know that Easter is just around the corner. And if you think about this range of emotions, you think that Jesus probably felt the same wide range of emotions here in the Garden of Gethsemane as well. You see, anytime we have a big decision to make, anytime we are facing a big change or about to encounter a life-changing event, there's always a mixed bag of emotions. If we're changing jobs, if we are retiring, or if we are moving, about to have a child, or about to bid a child farewell, whatever the situation may be, we are conflicted with emotions. Part of us is filled with joy, part of us is filled with nostalgia, pain, grief, even. And it was no different from Jesus. And in the scripture, we really get a sense of Jesus' humanity. We talk about him being the Son of God, being divine, and he was all of that. But he was also fully human. He He was the Son of Man as well. And in this scripture, you really see that, especially when he says that he is distressed, that he is agitated. We start to get a sense that Jesus was going through the same mixed bag of emotions that any of us would, especially if we were in this situation that he was in. Now, we talk about, we sing a song in the church called In the Garden, and we talk about he walks with me and he talks with me, and a lot of the imagery and the poetry in that song is very beautiful. It talks about the dew on the roses and the birds. The sound is so sweet that the birds hush their singing, and he puts within my heart a melody. And it's all this wonderful imagery and these beautiful words in that song as we talk about Jesus is walking with us and talking with us. But see, the thing is, sometimes we are in that type of garden. Sometimes we are experiencing the joy and the bliss of the Garden of Eden. And then other times we are in the Garden of Gethsemane. We are in our darkest hour. And when we're in that dark, scary, frightening garden, he also walks with us and he talks with us. And the reason why is because he went there himself. He went there to look death in the face, which is something that all of us as human beings will have to do one day. And it's normal for us to have reservations. It's normal for us to have fears about that. We had the memorial service for Miss Evelyn yesterday, and I shared in there that the last few times that I saw her, she just had this assurance about her, this calm and this... She knew whose she was and she knew where she was going. But it's not always that way. Many people can have confidence and they can have faith, and then they get right there at death's door and they start to have reservations. They start to have concerns, and that's natural. And we see that even Jesus, as he looked at death in the face, he prayed, "If it's possible, let this cup pass from me." That is a totally natural reaction to facing these circumstances. But he went on and he did what he had to do anyway. And the reason why, I believe, one of them is because he realized that if he didn't complete this mission, then everything he had done before now would have been completely pointless. We've been talking about this Gospel of Mark. We've been looking at his ministry from the very beginning when he was baptized and going through all these people that he taught, all these miracles he performed, all these great things he did, sharing the gospel message, teaching the love and the truth of God to people. He lived as a nomad for 3 years with his ragtag group of followers doing this. And if he backed out in the garden, it would have all been for nothing. I shared with some of y'all on a Wednesday night recently that I'm considering transferring seminaries just simply because of my schedule and my family, and to make things a little bit easier. What I didn't share was that there is actually a third seminary that I considered very briefly, and then I found out that none of my credits would transfer there. And I would basically be starting from scratch. In other words, a whole year of learning and studying would be just wiped away. And I was not willing to part with that. And so when Jesus thought about the 3 years of his ministry completely being undone by not going to the cross, I'm sure that he realized that was not the way to handle things. That was not going to be God's will for his life. But not only would it have all been for nothing, it would have made him a hypocrite. It would have made him a liar, because this is the same man who taught his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if you teach people to pray that way, and you say that is how you should live your life, and that should be your heart's prayer, you can't go walk away and just do your own thing, opposed to the will of God. But nonetheless, Jesus was vulnerable in this situation. Now, that wasn't because he lacked any faith in God. His faith was strong. But it was because he was bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. Now, think about that for a moment. Think about the weight of the world on Jesus' shoulders. The fate, the salvation for millions, billions of humans to come for thousands of years ahead, all on his shoulders there in that moment. Now you want to talk about stress. That's stress. And I can understand why he prayed, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. He was vulnerable. We read about the temptation in the wilderness at the beginning of his ministry, but I always felt like if the devil really wanted to get Jesus good, this would have been the time to tempt him, here in the garden, when he was vulnerable, when he was asking that the cup be passed from him. And perhaps he was tempted by the devil. We don't know. It doesn't say. I know in the Mel Gibson movie, the guy who I guess is supposed to be Jesus is whispering in his ear as he's praying in the garden, and then Jesus stomps on a snake or something. I don't know what all of that means, but I think it was probably an allusion to that, that Jesus was vulnerable and that this would have been a time for the devil to come in and tempt him. But Jesus knew that this was an important time, an important mission, and he knew that he was vulnerable. And that's why he basically went and begged Peter, please stay awake and pray with me. Now, there's a lot of lessons we can take from this scripture. We could talk about the urgency to pray fervently, not to sleep when the hour is at hand. We could talk about the temptation that we deal with in our darkest time. But I think the biggest lesson here is that Jesus eventually resigned to the will of God, because he knew that if he didn't finish what he had started, it would have all been for nothing. There are other lessons we can take. There's comfort in knowing that whatever darkness we face, he's been there, he's done that, and he'll be with us. We can take away instruction on how to pray, so that we actually do pray in a way that honors God and seeks to do his will instead of our own. But I think more than anything, this story indicates that when God has appointed us to something, when he has called us to do something, we have to see it through, even when we don't feel like it. We've been talking a lot about ministry the past several weeks, about how to be involved. What can we do? How can we be the hands and feet of Christ? And it's easy for us to come in here on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night and get fired up and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is my call. This is my purpose. But all of us will face those troubling times, those moments of doubt, those moments of fear, and we may want to back down. But Jesus is with us, even in those times. We have a word that we use at Christmas time, Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. And a couple Christmases ago, I would say, Emmanuel. And y'all would say, yeah, there you go. And y'all would respond, God is with us. Let's try it again. Emmanuel.
God is with us.
Very good. And that's a thing that we do at Christmas time. And there's some relevance to that, and there's some truth to that, because that is when God came to earth through Jesus Christ. But Emmanuel is also a word that we can remember and reflect on during Holy Week, during Easter, during our trials and tribulations, during our times of wanting to give up. And it's a word that we can certainly reflect on even as we stare death in the face. God is with us throughout our journey. He's with us in the beginning. God is the one who calls us into that journey. He's with us in the midst of it, through the ups and through the downs. He's even with us as we look death in the face, just as God was there in the garden as Jesus looked death in the face. And sure, we all experience anxiety. We'll all experience doubt in the midst of our chaos and our confusion. After all, chaos and confusion is pretty much what the human experience is, isn't it? And it's natural to feel those doubts and those worries. It's natural for us to have those moments of fear and uncertainty. But in the end, we know that wherever we're going, Jesus Christ has already been there. He's already done that. And it's a sweet privilege to follow him, even to the cross. For as we go, he walks with us and he talks with us. Whether we're in the Garden of Eden or whether we're in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let us pray. Lord, we are well aware that there are times in our lives where we come to the garden to meet you and there is no dew on the roses because the roses have dried up. There are no birds to hush their singing because there is no life there. There is no hope there. And there are times where we face that hopelessness and that darkness and that despair. But even in those moments, Lord, we have reason to praise you and to thank you that you are still with us, that you have still faced those situations ahead of us, and you seek to be our God through those times. Regardless of our faith, regardless of our confidence or our positive thinking, Lord, we desperately need you as our God. You are a God of those who are indecisive. You are the God of those who face tribulations and trial. You are the God of those who seek companionship for the journey. When we follow you, we don't just follow you for a little while. We follow you to the end so that the good work you started in us will be completed in the day of Jesus Christ. Give us strength for the journey and thank you for your presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is hymn number 128, He Leadeth Me. If you've made a decision of any type today, I invite you to come forward as we sing. Please stand if you are able. Hymn number 128.